Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing? Everybody good? I want to invite you to turn to your Bibles today, and we're going to look at 1 Peter 4. We're just glad you guys are here, and just want to let you know, if you need a Bible, you can raise your hand, and we'll get you a copy so that you can follow along. Also, just want to encourage you to look at the table back there and make sure you find your Bible if you're missing it. Oliver just found his Bible, so maybe you can too. I don't know. Let's hear it for Oliver. Yeah, he found his Bible. We're going to look at 1 Peter 4 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 12. There's good news and there's bad news. Maybe you've heard somebody say that phrase before. Good news and bad news. We could think of some examples of good news and bad news. For example, Christmas is coming. Good news, right? That's good news. But it's like 11, 10 months away. That's bad news. We could think of some other examples. Maybe your neighbor comes over and drops off a plate of like freshly baked cookies for you and your family. That's good news. But your dog runs up and jumps on your neighbor, and she drops the cookies all over the floor, and they're ruined. Bad news. There's good news and there's bad news. We could think of so many examples. Maybe your team's going to the Super Bowl this year. They made it this far. They're going to compete. They're going to play, finally, in the Super Bowl. Good news. But then they lose. Yeah, you know. Really, really bad news. We know about that kind of thing. Good news and bad news. We know about both. And that's something of kind of what we see in the pages of the Bible. In a much more important way, in a much more real way, there's both good news and bad news. There's bad news and there's good news in this book, in the Bible. I'll start with helping us think about some of the bad news. The Bible explains the bad news, that this world isn't how it should be. We live in a world that's fallen, a world where there's sin. Even from the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1 talks about how Adam and Eve, things were great until chapter 3, they sinned. They broke our relationship with God. And all of us now are sinners. We've gone against God. We've broken his law. All of us are sinners. We've rebelled against God. And because of sin, now we live in a world that's filled with some sad things, that's filled with sorrow, that's filled with suffering, that even is a world where there's death. The Bible has bad news for us. Our sin has made this world broken. But then we also know that there's good news in the Bible. The Bible tells us about how good God is, that God loves us. And he showed his love toward us, toward sinners, in sending Christ, and sending Jesus in order to save us from our sins. God made a way for you to be forgiven. He made a way for your relationship with God to be fixed in order for you to spend eternity with him through sending his son Christ. That is good news. That's the gospel. If you believe in Christ, you can be saved from your sin. You can be rescued from the bad news. The Bible tells us about bad news and good news. Good news and bad news. If you're a Christian, you know that message of good news, that you have a future one day that's going to be full of joy and full of glory one day in heaven, where there's going to be no more sin, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more hard things. You're going to be with Jesus forever. But that does make us wonder, as Christians, if you are a believer in Jesus, what about this world right now? How do we live right here and right now in this world that still has bad news in it, a world that's still fallen, where things are broken, where things aren't exactly how they should be yet. Even Christians still live in a world where there's still pain, there's still sin, there's still difficult times, times of trouble. Christians still live in a world that's broken. And even Christians are going to face sorrow and hard stuff in this life, here in this world that's broken by sin. So that makes us ask, how should a Christian think about that? How should we think about living in a world where there's still bad news? A world that's still broken, where there's still sin, and where people are still enemies of God, and where some people haven't yet believed in that good news and been transformed and changed and saved. How do we live in a world where we might face difficult things, even difficult things because we live for Jesus, because we're following him? In a world where there's some things that we might not expect that come up, that we face. Maybe you as a Christian might be treated a little bit differently in the next few years. Maybe even now you know about this when you're around unbelievers. You're treated as not quite the same. Maybe people think that you're a little weird because you're a Christian. Maybe people say unkind things to you because you're following Christ. Because you've decided, I'm not going to live for sin. I'm going to live for Jesus, who I love and who saved me. And because of that, you're not going to quite fit in. So how do we live in that kind of world where there's still sadness, where there's still difficult things, where things are still broken? Maybe even facing difficult times because you follow Jesus. The Bible has so much to say about that. And really, that's what so much of this letter, 1 Peter, is about. How to live here in this world as a Christian. In this world that's still broken by sin, where there's still bad news, even though we've been saved and know the good news. How can you live in this world? Well, this passage that we're going to look at this morning is one of those sections of the Bible, one of those sections of 1 Peter that helps us think about that. How can we live in this world that's broken with sin? And I want you to see this big idea this morning, that God prepares us who follow Christ for times of trouble. God helps us to know how to live in this world that's broken with sin, where we might face difficulty, times where things remind us that this world's broken and where there's going to be hard things that come up, troubles all around us, even troubles because you've chosen to follow Christ. A world where we might stand out or face some times of trouble because you're a Christian. God helps us know how to live in that world. He prepares us here even in these verses. So let's read from 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 12. God's word says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, so that you may also rejoice and be glad with his glory when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous are scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." This tells us that Christians have God's help if we're going to live in this world where there's still bad news, a bad news world that's broken by sin and where there's still difficult things that come in this life. God doesn't leave you, if you're a Christian, on your own. And so I think we should see three ways that God prepares Christians for life in this world. How we can live in this world. Three ways that God prepares us for times of trouble if we're followers of him. God doesn't leave us on our own. He helps us know how to live here. Way number one that God prepares us, I want you to see this morning, is that God wants believers to know, number one, I should expect difficult times. I should expect difficult times. You see that in verse 12. He writes, "Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though some strange thing were happening to you." God wants you to know if you're trusting Jesus, if you're going to be a follower of him in this world, if you're a Christian, you can expect that there will be some uncomfortable times as you follow him. There's going to be some difficult times. There's going to be trials still for you. And we shouldn't think of that as strange or as surprising. Sometimes we like surprises. Some of you guys love surprises. You want to be surprised. Like a friend comes in and tells you, you know, I just saw this movie that you've been waiting to see. And you say, don't tell me the end. I haven't seen it yet. I want to be surprised. But here in the Bible, here's something that we don't want to be surprised by, that we need to know ahead of time. Something that God warns us about, tells us about, so that we understand things clearly if we're following him. That there are going to be some hard times in the future, in this world, if you're a follower of Christ. Expect that can happen. That will happen in different ways. God knows this, and he wants you to know this. Now, trials are not outside of God's control or God's plan. God has good plans for Christians, even through trials. That's kind of hard for us to really even begin to really wrap our minds around. But God wants us to know that there are trials that will come in your life if you're following him, and they're trials that he's going to use for good. We could think about what trials, what difficult times, what times of trouble can do in the life of a Christian. Back in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, 1 Peter 1:7 says, "Trials come upon you to test the genuineness of your faith." That's telling us that trials can strengthen your faith. They can improve your faith. They can take away what's not good in your life as a Christian, and they can actually bring strength, make you more spiritually strong as a follower of him. James chapter 1 says the same. Chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "The trials can produce endurance. It can make us more mature Christians." God uses trials to build you up as a Christian and to make you somebody who endures and somebody who he wants you to become, somebody that you should want to become. So God wants us not to be surprised by the fact that he uses trials to test us, to strengthen us for our good. There's the first word there in verse 12, it's beloved. That reminds us that if you're a Christian, you have God's love upon you. God loves you, and he wants only what is good for your life. He wants to do good things in your life, and sometimes that even includes difficult things that are hard for us to understand, but we can trust that God loves us, and God's doing this for our good. In his love, God's going to allow difficult times in the life of his people. And that's good for us to know ahead of time. This book, 1 Peter, has been showing us how great it is to be a Christian. I don't want you to think that man, being a Christian's a real bummer. No, that's not what this is saying at all. In fact, if you look back at chapter 1, it tells us in those first few verses how incredible, how great, how awesome it is to be a Christian, how we shouldn't want to be anything other than a Christian. You can receive God's mercy as a Christian. You receive his forgiveness of sins. You're born again to a living hope, chapter 1 says. You have an inheritance in heaven. You have joy with Jesus forever, joy that's inexpressible and full of glory. Being a Christian is the best. But that also means we should know that being a Christian doesn't just zap us out of all of the hard things of this life. Like, you can just kind of glide through easily to heaven. There's going to be no problems, no troubles, no issues ever. You've got God on your side, so you're good. No, this is saying there will be some hard times, but we don't need to be surprised by that. We don't need to be surprised by the hard times that come up in this broken world, because we know that God loves us and he's using these things for our good. So don't be surprised by difficult times that come in your life as a Christian. But there's a second way that God prepares us as Christians. That's number two. God prepares us by wanting to believers to know that I can have joy through times of trouble. I can have joy. I can rejoice even through hard times, through trials. You can see this in verses 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, "But rejoice so far as you share the sufferings of Christ." He's saying, have joy, rejoice. You have every reason to have joy as a Christian, even in those times of trouble, as you're obeying Jesus, living for him. And that's kind of a weird sounding thing to us, that God can use difficult things, and even through those things, he can give us joy. The Christians in this letter were facing unkind treatment. They probably weren't being included in the society around them. They were being insulted. They were being disrespected because they lived for Jesus. But God's saying you can have joy even in those times. You can have joy even when you're going through trouble. And that's because verse 13 says, there's a time in the future where Christ's glory will be revealed. You see that at the end of verse 13. Christians can look forward to a day in the future where Christ's glory is going to be revealed and we're going to be with him in heaven forever. There's going to be a time when we're away from this fallen world where there's no more sin, no more suffering, no more evil. And we look forward to that, a place that we have so much hope for, an inheritance with God forever. But verse 14 also says, if you're insulted, if you're going through this difficulty, even here and now, if you're a Christian, the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. That's saying there's a special comfort that you can have even here in this life right now, as a Christian, as you're going through hard times following Jesus. You can look forward to heaven one day, but even now you can have peace in your life. What is that joy that you can have living for Jesus? Well, it's important to say this isn't just like some kind of happiness, like an emotion that comes and goes depending on how things are going in your life. Like, you know, I'm joyful because somebody gave me $100. No, that's not quite it. I'm joyful because my team won the Super Bowl. I'm joyful because I finally beat my older brother at a video game that I've been trying to for years. No, that's a little bit different. That's happiness, and that's great, but this is talking about something a little bit different. Joy is a deep, lasting peace and comfort that only comes in your life if you know God. Joy is a deep, lasting peace and comfort that only comes from knowing God. Joy can stick around even while you're hurting or while you're sad or if there's difficult things in your life, you can still have joy. How is that possible? It's because you have peace and comfort knowing God. You can ask anybody who's been a Christian for a while, who's walked with Jesus for a long time. They can tell you about this joy. There's Christians who have gone through really hard things in their life. But even through that, they can say, I found joy, and it was in Jesus. I can think of so many stories of that, of Christians telling that story in their own life. All they can talk about is the joy they found knowing Jesus, even though there were hard things going on around them. And if you have Christ, that's what you can have too. You can rejoice. You have every reason to rejoice. You have joy for the future one day, and even joy walking with Jesus right now. You can have joy with Jesus. Why is that? Because Jesus is the Savior of sinners. Jesus has saved you from your sin. Jesus loves you. Jesus is working in your life right now as a Christian. And you know Jesus is coming back, and he has a place with him for you forever. How can you not have joy when you have Jesus? I think this is also a good point to say, if you're without Christ, if you don't have Jesus, if you're not a believer in him, you can't know this joy. There's no peace. There's no comfort that comes from having a right relationship with God, from knowing God. There's no hope for the future. There's no knowing that God has saved you. There's no help when you face times of trouble in this broken world. This morning, you can know that joy that's in Christ. You can know the joy of Jesus if you come to him. If you turn to him, if you trust in him, if you become a Christian, you can know the joy of having Jesus in your life as your Savior, as the one who's forgiven you, who's covered you in righteousness, who gives you a place with him in heaven forever. If you're trying to live this life without Christ, you're missing out on the joy of knowing Jesus. We want you to know the joy of Christ. If you're a Christian, you can have that joy even through times of trouble. So we should know as Christians that we can expect difficult times, we can expect times of trouble, and we can have joy through those times. But third, I think we should also see that there are different types of trouble. There are different types of difficulty and trouble in this world. Verses 15 to 19 show us this. And here we see that Peter warns us about some different kinds of suffering that happen in this world, difficulty that comes up. And we can see on the one hand a warning that there is trouble that comes because of sin. You see that in verse 15. There's trouble that comes because of sin. Verse 15 says, "Let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler." All of these are kinds of sins, obviously. Sin that doesn't belong in the life of a Christian, of a believer. And it's sin that doesn't bring peace, but as a consequence of sin, here we learn there's going to be suffering. There's going to be difficulty. There's going to be sorrow. That's important for us to know, all of us, that sin always brings sorrow. And sin can bring real discipline in our lives from people in authority, from the government, I think Peter's thinking here, from the police, from judges. And for you, if you're living at home, sin can bring suffering, can bring difficulty, it can bring discipline from your parents, from the people in authority. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. But this teaches us in verse 15, that's not persecution. That's a different kind of trouble. If you're facing trouble because of sin, those hard things that you're experiencing, if that's you in that situation, is just a consequence of sin. It reminds us that this world, again, it's broken. It's not right. And it should make us hate sin and run to Christ, to love Christ, our Savior. For a Christian, when we sin, it can bring us into very big trouble that God uses to discipline us. It's like when you see a little brother, a little kid, maybe a two-year-old who disobeys his mom, and she says, "Don't do that," and he does it. And because of that, there's consequence, there's trouble, there's hard things, and he's corrected in love by his mom for doing what's wrong. The same is true in the lives of Christians. God will bring correction if you're doing something that's wrong. This is the trouble that we want to avoid. And that's why he says, verse 15, let none of you suffer in that way. Don't be about sin. Don't face the consequences of your sin. If you're a Christian, God saved you not for sin, but to be holy, to be holy, to pursue holiness, to keep turning away from sin and to keep living in this new way of life that God wants for you. That's what 1 Peter's been all about, living this new life of holiness. But we also need to learn and see here in verse 16, on the other hand, that there's a different kind of trouble that comes because of living righteously. We've seen there's a trouble that comes because of our sin, but there's a different kind of trouble that comes because of living righteously, living in obedience to Jesus. Verse 16 says, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let her not be ashamed, but glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. That's telling us about a kind of trouble that God uses in the lives of Christians that's not because of sin, but that comes to still do good in our life, that comes to purify us and to keep making us stronger and more close to him. Again, it's one of those trials that God uses for your good as you live for him. And we can know that if we're obedient to Jesus and we're going through hard things, that God is with us, that we don't need to be ashamed, but that we can even find joy. Every Christian who's walked with Jesus for a long time can tell you about this kind of situation. Maybe they were treated a little bit differently. Maybe they lost some close relationships in their family because they're a Christian. Maybe they were called names. Maybe they went through difficult things that they didn't expect because they were following Jesus. But even in that time, they were able to have joy. That's why verse 19 says we should keep entrusting our souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We can have joy in those times, and we can keep on trusting God because he is good. Keep on doing good. Keep on living for him. So there's different kinds of trouble that we're told about there in verses 15 and 16. And then there's a very serious warning I think we also need to look at here in verses 17 and 18. And these verses at the end warn us, again, about the future for anyone who does not listen to the gospel, anyone who does not believe in Jesus, who doesn't obey the message of the gospel to repent and believe in Jesus. There's a different kind of difficulty ahead for anyone who rejects Christ. There's a different kind of judgment. And it's an outcome. It's a future that nobody wants. This is a warning for you. If you're lost, if you're following after your sin, you only have God's very real judgment as an end for your sin, as the outcome for your sin. The good news of the gospel is something that we need to hear and believe. It's not just something to hear and go, well, that's nice. That's nice for some people. I'm glad that some people believe that. No, the gospel is a message that is for all of us, that saves us from what we deserve for our sins. The good news of Jesus is for sinners. It's for anyone. It's for you to hear and believe and be saved from God's judgment. Anyone who rejects the gospel, there's a trouble, a future that you don't want. So we're warned about these different kinds of troubles, these different kinds of difficulties. And God wants us to know about them so that we can be prepared for what's coming, prepared for the future, and even know how to live here in this world that has bad news, a broken world now. This world is broken by sin. It's a world where hard things happen, a fallen world, a place of bad news. But what about this world right now? How can we live here and now in a place where there's still difficult things that happen, that come up? How should we know how to live? Well, God helps us here. He helps us understand and see. To know that there will be times of trouble if you are a Christian, but to know that you can have great joy even in those times. And to make sure that you understand what kinds of trouble there are. Even Christians will face difficult times, hard stuff in this life, in this world that's filled with bad news. But God prepares us. He helps us. He gets us ready for living for him in this world. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you help us to know how to live in this world. We thank you that if we're in Christ, if we're Christians, we have every reason to be overflowing with joy, to be filled with joy. Maybe not because things are all perfect in this world, but because we have you, Lord. We have you in our lives. We have you as our Savior, as our Lord, as the one who loves us and protects us. Lord, thank you for the fact that you do love us and that you prepare us and help us to know how to live in this world. Lord, I pray for any student who does not know this message of the gospel, that you can forgive their sins freely if they come to you. I pray that you would open their hearts to repent and to believe in the gospel, to be saved from judgment and to have joy with Jesus forever. Thank you, Lord, for these verses and for our time together this morning. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.